Support Podnuts by going to podnuts.com/Amazon. It'll take you straight to Amazon, do your normal shopping, but with every purchase, you'll be supporting Podnuts. Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 308, the show where computer repair techs come on. Do I have to say it again? You guys not know by now? Where computer repair techs come on, they give their tips and tricks and techniques and methods and secrets to you guys so you can become better technicians yourself. That's the gist. We'll play voicemails, we'll read emails, and whatever other shenanigans happen to transpire, we will play them as well. Joining us today is a man you should, I think you should also be familiar with. He's been on a bunch of shows. It's good to have him back. Jeff Hallisch from TechNutPC.com. Yo, Jeff.
How you doing, everybody? Good to see you, Steve.
Good to see you. What's been happening?
Oh, just keeping busy, you know, just keep working at it, you know, growing a business and trying to learn new things.
Yeah.
Expand my knowledge base. Yeah.
That's good. Anything of note you want to talk about learning new?
Yeah, we'll talk about some of the stuff. I got some notes that I put together.
Okay.
Some of the things we'll go through.
Okay. Well, you go ahead and start us off then. What do you want to go over?
Basically, we'll start with I changed my advertising campaign a little bit. I'm still using Google AdWords.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I found was my area seemed to be a little bit too big. You know, you can either do a radius of like 10 miles from your house, 20 miles from your house or whatever. And it basically makes a circular pattern. That didn't work real well for me because I live in St. Clair Shores and I'm right by the water. So part of that radius was cut off anyway.
Semicircle.
So, exactly. So what I did was I kind of cut my own area out and, you know, about how far I wanted to go. Well, I had expanded it out and I was probably out 20 miles or so, maybe even a little bit more than that. But what I noticed was that, the AdWords were actually going out a little bit farther than that. So I was getting people kind of on the edge of where I had set it.
Right.
And basically, I was getting calls, and some of these jobs people wanted me to drive up to were like 45 minutes there and 45 minutes back.
Right, right.
And it just wasn't worth my, you know, for my flat rate of $99. Oops. Silly phone.
Is that a power up?
No, it was that's a voicemail.
It sounds like a Call of Duty power up or something like that.
Yeah, it's a rank up on Modern Warfare 2.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I'm a geek. So what I did was I was just driving too far for, you know, $99, you know, spend a couple hours at somebody's house to fix a network problem, printer or whatever.
Right.
So what I did was and the other thing I noticed too is that on people were calling me, and I think if they were a little bit too far out, they really were like, they were just kind of checking prices, but they weren't really interested in driving out to, you know, to my place to drop their computer off because it was just a little bit too far. So
right. My
advertising costs were going way up, and I was still getting about the same amount of people. And maybe not as good a quality people just because they weren't real close
right. And
not that interested. So what I did was I cut my area down a little bit and, you know, it was about 10 miles out, but it's in a weird pattern.
Are you allowed to shape it on AdWords? Like shape, it doesn't have to be a circle, does it? Or does it have to be?
No, it doesn't have, you can shape it any way you want.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, you can draw, you basically pick points.
Wow.
And kind of draw.
That's kind of new.
Yeah. Well, ever since I've been using it, which has been the last year, it's been like that. So
yeah, that's new to me.
Okay, I got it. It's in the shape of a, I don't know, a hair dryer, I guess, or a radar gun, something like that. anyways, if you could picture that, because again, I'm by the water, so I had to cut some of the areas down.
It's in the shape of a radar gun. Okay, I get it. I guess I'm gonna pull up a Google image of that.
There you go.
Yeah, but did that help?
Yeah, it actually did. I started noticing right after I changed it, I was getting a lot more quality customers that were actually they would bring it to my shop, and basically, I was getting a better bang for my buck, and my advertising costs actually went down. So that was a good thing. I don't mind paying for advertising costs, but when you're getting less people or you know, not the right people. It just didn't seem to make any sense.
I always mind paying advertising costs. I hate it. I hate it with a passion. But at least, like you said, if you know you're getting a result, it's different than, if you know you're getting a result, it's not as bad. But it,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So is that your tip? You mean shape the, if you're not happy with what you're doing on AdWords, shape your radius and shape your distance?
Yeah, and I think because I didn't mess with it for a long time, and I think a lot of people, you know, we all get busy, and a lot of times we don't think about, hey, let me make it a little adjustment. But, you know, make an adjustment maybe, you know, if it's not working out for you the way you think it should be, you know, make an adjustment maybe once a month and let it ride for a month and see what it does. And, then, you know, just make small adjustments and, you know, and until you get that sweet spot where it's working for you. And you're happy with the results.
Yeah, and then at that point, you can almost leave it alone for a while. I mean, things are changing. Exactly. Nothing's staying static here, but things do change, but not as fast as sometimes you think. And then you could just leave those campaigns running. A little money-making
right.
machine. Cool.
So anyways, that was my first thing. I just wanted to kind of put that out there to, you know, always be thinking about your business, always be thinking about what you're doing, especially with, you know, making minor adjustments and different things. Don't be afraid to try something new to, you know, change something up, you know.
Tweak it.
Kinda, yep, exactly. So.
Good one.
Some of the jobs I've been working on as of late, some, you know, were stupid mistakes and some were, but, you know, learning mistakes. And then, you know, some worked out pretty good. So the first one was there was an old Windows XP laptop came in. And I think it might have been a Lenovo or something like that. It was one of those, you know, it was definitely square. And it was one of the real thick plastic. Looks like you could drop it on the ground and, you know, stomp on it. It'd still be fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, real slow processor, you know, maybe 512, you know, megs of RAM, something like that.
Right.
Anyways, they couldn't get on the internet, and they've been using, one of those PCMIA wireless cards, the ones you stick in the side. They look like a rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I go in, well, okay, Internet Explorer's not working, but it looks like the rest of the computer's working fine. So I go in, I clean up the viruses and stuff, and then still couldn't get on the internet. So I even got to the point where I actually went through and reinstalled Windows. And this is where, you know,
XP, it was an XP machine, right?
Yes. Yep. XP machine. And this is where I kind of kicked myself later, but, what it ended up being was a bad wireless card.
Oh man. Internal or the PCMCIA card?
The PCMCIA card.
Oh man.
And basically the reason I never checked it was because it was actually connecting to the network. So it was getting a partial connection to my network here, but then it wasn't going out on the internet. So I thought it was an Internet Explorer being blocked.
Was it a bad card or is it bad software?
Drivers? It was a bad card. Yeah, it was a bad, because I tried putting new drivers in and updating the drivers and all that, but it was actually a bad card.
Was it pin bent or was it actually just the card bad?
Just the card was bad. Okay. Yeah, the card looked, it was a Netgear and it looked, I mean, they're still $50 cards, you know, and it looked like it was fairly, like it wasn't that old.
Right.
It wasn't like a real old card. So I went to Micro Center, got a, I don't know, whatever the off-brand Zonet is.
Oh, my Micro Center.
Yeah, I love Micro Center.
Missed that.
Yeah, it's nice having one close to the house.
So what did you get, a Zone?
Yeah, the Zonet or whatever it is. I put that in there and, you know, the customer's been fine with it ever since. So that was all what.
Damn.
All that work, hours and hours of work, and I, you know, I should have at least had, you know, the way I checked it was I used a USB wireless card. And you go, wait a minute, it gets on the internet using this, and I should.
So is that the moral of the story? Do that first?
Yeah, check. Make sure you check all your hardware, even if the lights are blinking and it looks like it's connecting to the internet or connecting to the network. Because, like I said, it was connecting to the network, but it was just, there was an intermittent problem, and it, you know, it was just a weird problem, so.
Makes sense. At least you figured it out.
Well, you know, it's I keep saying this. I said there hasn't been anything I haven't figured out yet. So,
right.
I'm hoping that stays that way.
And those types of things, like what you just said, I remember when I was in my shop, there would be things that would happen to me like that. And it, I would mark it off mentally that, okay, well, that's not going to happen anymore. Like, there's certain things that you just know you go through once, and then you go, oh, and you go, all right, well, that's not going to happen anymore. Like, I've done that. I've messed that up. And that's
right.
Now that I have that experience, I won't do that anymore. There's so many times in my shop where I finished a job and I go, now I know. And that's like, it just sits in there. Now I know that. That will not happen again.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why I said none of these are real bad. They're all good learning experiences. And, you know, hey, we all learn from our mistakes too. So
totally.
That's a good thing.
Yes.
I think the last time I was on Podnuts, I was asking about replacing broken USB ports, and we were kind of talking about those. And I'd gotten a Acer Aspire. Well, this Acer Aspire came in. First, the customer called me and said, yeah, you charge a flat rate of $79 for anything, right? And I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, outside of parts. And they go, well, I took this laptop apart and I can't get it back together. So,
no, those are the worst. I hate when people take stuff apart and then bring it in a box with all the screws missing and everything. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it there was a teacup with all the screws in it. It was a mess. I'm like going, so, because what this lady tried to do is she was going to fix the USB ports herself. And I'm like, somebody had jammed something in there so hard that they actually broke the USB ports out. And it was like, the insides were just
hanging
pushed
there.
Out. They weren't even hanging there. I don't even know what happened to them.
The ports weren't even there?
No, there's one port had the metal around it, but the inside was totally gone. I said, so once you got this apart, what was it you were thinking you were going to do with the USB ports? So she told me, she goes, well, I was thinking, you know, they got those cords with the USB ports on there. I figured, you know, you just solder one to the board or something.
Not a bad idea.
It wasn't, but I still had to laugh. I was like, okay.
So she would just have this cord hanging out of her laptop.
Pretty much.
That's neat.
She could have matched the pins up, yeah. But so anyways, what I ended up doing was I ordered some USB ports because I looked at them and there were, you know, it was just two of them. And I ended up ordering the wrong sizes. It looks like there's basically two different sizes. There's like a one that's not as deep, which is the one I needed. And then there's the generic ones, which are a little deeper and a little more bulky.
Are you talking about just for the Aspire? Or are you talking about laptop USB ports in general?
Laptop USB ports in general.
I didn't think you could get a general just laptop. Because I always assumed the lengths, like you said, were always different models. I didn't know that you could do it and kind of get away with it. You can, huh?
There's basically two sizes that I've seen. The only other ones that you'll see is if you have USB ports that are stacked on top of each other or USB ports that are mounted sideways.
Right.
But they sell those too.
Really?
But your basic run-of-the-mill, you know, flat, you know, just laying down flat, there's basically two sizes of what I've found so far.
Very cool. I learned something new today.
So anyways, I cleaned those out and put the USB ports in there and no problems. It worked.
Damn.
But
so you didn't use her method, huh?
No, I didn't do didn't do the cord.
Good. You went the professional route.
Yeah. I didn't want to do the El Chizo method, you know.
Good call.
The next job I had was somebody had called me out, and this is where, you know, this guy must have been at work and was in my advertising area, called me from work and basically lived like, you know, 45 minutes from me and, couldn't connect to the internet. So I took the job, went out there. He had about a year old HP TouchSmart and, you know, I sat down, was talking to him and real friendly guy and everything. He's like, so he sat down, he goes, now wait, before you get started, he goes, let me ask you a more important question. He brings out some sort of beer and, puts a beer down. I'm like, I don't really drink. So no thanks, dude. And the guy proceeded while he sat next to me and I'm working on his computer to try to get me to drink that beer for like the next hour.
Wait a minute. What was his question?
He just wanted to know if I wanted a beer.
Oh, like, okay.
No.
Yeah.
Especially now while I'm trying to work.
You know? Right. You should say, look, dude, not, you don't want me to drink this right now.
Exactly. need to have all brain cells functioning and exactly. working.
So. What kind of beer was it?
Oh, it was an older type beer that I hadn't seen in probably 20 some odd years. And I don't even know where he got it from.
What was his reasonings for trying to get you to drink it?
He just was being friendly. He was just really, really friendly guy. Okay. But.
All right. So what happened with his computer?
Anyways, so couldn't connect to the internet. So I ran some scans on it, Super Anti Spyware, Malware Bytes, ran CombiFix on it.
What was there evidence of viruses, anything, or just wouldn't connect?
There, you know what? It wouldn't connect, even directly connecting it to the modem, you know, and he had spent probably the night before here's a bad thing. Okay, he called up HP. They spent like 4 hours on the phone with him, going through all these basic, you know, things to test. And basically all the things I came back in and did, you know, that day, or the next day. HP's response to him was like, well, we don't know what to do, so what we can do is we can walk you through these steps of formatting your computer.
Right.
And he's like, well, he goes, what about all my stuff that's on there? Well, you need to back that up. So they basically gave him a day until 5 o'clock the next day to do it. So he was calling me the day that they were supposed to call him back. I'm like, no, there's nothing. You don't need to format your computer.
and the Touch Smart's one of the big ones that stand up with the touchscreen, right?
Yep.
Okay.
So I asked him too. I said, so how often do you guys use a touch? He goes, never. He goes, but my wife had to have it. I'm like, oh, okay.
Probably, not, I would say 90% probably don't, if I had to guess.
No.
It's neat probably the first day you have.
Exactly.
It. Right.
I can't even stand touching my, you know, getting all the grease all over my phone. But,
I know.
So anyway, so we were getting in an hour or two, and I was at my wit's end. I'm running all the regular, you know, doing, you know, IP config and all that kind of stuff and really trying to make this thing work. And still nothing. And I'm like, what in the world? I said, well, all right, well, here's my Hail Mary. I said, he had Webroot antivirus on there. Let me uninstall this and see what happens. I uninstalled Webroot antivirus, and lo and behold, boom, connected right to the internet. You know, I expected it from, you know, if it had been Norton or McAfee, I would have uninstalled it right away and saved myself a couple hours of time.
You like Webroot?
No, I don't. I don't know that much about Webroot. That's fine. But he had just bought, you know, and it, you know, had 300 some odd days left or something like that. As a rule of thumb, here's another tip. Is a rule of thumb, I decided that day, because this has happened to me a couple times, that you know what? The first thing I need to do is just uninstall the antivirus and go on from there. Because really, it's, you know, especially when a couple scans don't work or whatever, just, you know what? Just jump in there, uninstall it. You can always reinstall it.
Right, you can always reinstall it. That's the thing. Now, did he reinstall, like, or did you reinstall for him before you left, or...
No, what I did was I said, I don't know what this thing is doing. Obviously, an update that happened within the last day and a half or a couple days when you right. lost your connection to the internet, something changed. You know, and I don't know if it was a McAfee thing, like when McAfee shut a bunch of computers down, a bunch of corporate computers, you know, way back when, you know, a year ago or so.
Right.
So I put Microsoft Security Essentials on there. I said, you can put this back on here if you want. I wasn't going to do it.
Right, right. At least you put something there that you know won't stop the internet.
Exactly. You know, it was a quick fix. Something was right there that we could do. I said, if you want to install Webroot again and you want to get a hold of them or get your money back or whatever, I said, that's fine. Just make sure you uninstall this Microsoft Security Essentials and then, you know, reinstall it, do your updates and all that kind of stuff. So, but his computer was clean after that too. So. Good. You get a little benefit out of that, so
very good.
But yeah, so always check your antivirus.
Nice. Nice.
Let's see. Oh, the same thing. The last couple of shows, I think people talked about. I had one of the hard drive recovery virus come out. And I don't know if Steve D in the chat room.
He's in there. No.
Okay. Anyways, I sent him a tweet because I noticed that he had sent a tweet out that he had gotten that virus. And
which virus is it again?
The hard drive recovery virus. Okay. I think Timster talked about it too.
Okay.
Where it says, you know, your hard drive.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Anyway, so the day I was getting one that was coming into the shop, someone had called me. I just happened to see Steve D's tweet. And so I sent a reply to him, but apparently he doesn't answer those. So
his communication is not up to par. I'm going to put it that way.
I'm just saying.
It's hit or miss. It's hit or miss. Same thing happens with me.
Well, that was the second reply to a tweet I'd sent him, so.
Oh, really? You know what happens to me? I'll send him something, and he'll answer me with something that's totally disrelated.
Right. Well, I love the guy's a wealth of knowledge, but, you know.
it's fun. It's fun.
There was that program to basically unhide the files. I ended up doing a little research, and I ended up finding that onhide.exe that somebody had created. So that, it's funny. Once you clean up all the viruses and get all that stuff out of there, it's still got all those file folders hidden.
So what is it again? Refresh my memory.
It basically, what it does is it pops up like your normal, scareware saying, mm-hmm. Hey, you're infected and your hard drive is failing.
Right.
And what it does is it hides all your documents, the stuff on your desktop.
Mm-hmm.
It hides all your pictures, all your videos, everything that's in your like personal folders.
Right.
And that's how I knew that they were missing, because when they called up, they said, all our pictures are gone. Okay. I said, no. And I was pretty sure, even though I hadn't heard of this yet, I was pretty sure they were still there. But I figured somebody had come up with something to basically... scare you into paying $80 and buying their program to, you know, unhide those folders.
Right, right.
So
how do you get rid of it again?
There was it's a little program. I got it off of bleepingcomputer.com. It's called unhide.exe.
And that unhides all your folders and stuff.
Yep.
Now, doesn't the error message still come up?
No, this is after I've cleaned all the malware out of there.
How did you clean the malware off? With just malware bytes, or
I just use my normal gamut. I know a lot of guys do a lot of different things. I don't even really boot up into the desktop. I just, if somebody says, hey, my computer's running slow, I've got a virus, you know, the first thing I do is I take the computer, I clean it out, I blow it out with
clean it physically.
Clean it physically, get all the dust out, just make sure it's not a heat problem. Second thing I do when I bring it down to my bench is I boot into safe mode and run Viper Rescue, and that takes a long time to run. And then I'll run Superanti Spyware, the portable version. And then after that, usually then I can boot into the desktop, and then I'll finish up with like malware bytes. I might use I'm trying to think what some of the names of the other ones are.
Combo Fix, you said you used, or?
Yeah, sometimes if you can't get to the internet or things are still running slow. A lot of times if things are running slow too, I'll use, blank. What in the world is the name of the program?
Go ahead.
System Mechanic.
Okay.
System Mechanic actually does, and it's a 30-day trial. You basically, I know Kerry Holtzman is, that's one of the things that he uses mm-hmm. on a lot of his fixes. I don't use it all the time. I only use it if it seems like the computer's running slow, even after I've cleaned it up. And it seems to reset a lot of the things, for Internet Explorer and, it does some things for the hard drive, kind of does a disk defrag, that type of thing. Fixes your hives and, before you even boot into the system. So it does a lot of things to make the computer to run faster. And it's kind of you basically run the tool, you let it do its scan and you just let it run and it fixes everything. You come back and you look at it, after it's done.
I see. So, and then, okay. So you clean it up with that. And then there's a program called unhide.exe on Bleeping Computer.
Yes.
I see. And that gets all your stuff back. All right, interesting.
Yep.
Very interesting. Yeah.
So, okay, the next laptop I had, somebody brought it to me. I've got a guy that brings me laptops now because he does basic computer repair, but whenever he's got to open one up, he's like, nah, he just brings it to me.
Nice.
Like, forget about it. So, we got a pretty good working relationship. But anyway, this called me up.
Wait, before you start that, can you, if you don't mind, can you just tell us how you got that relationship?
He actually just called me up on the phone, to be honest with you.
And said, do you do laptop repairs?
Yeah. And he said, you know, what do you do? And, you know, what type of laptop repairs do you do? And I said, pretty much anything. Good. You know, power jack repairs, you know, whatever. He goes, I tear him down. And so that's what he was kind of looking for. He's a local guy to me, so.
That's perfect.
Yeah. So I've made some pretty decent money off of him. He's a real good guy. So anyways, he called me with a laptop that one of the children in somebody's house had spilled a whole glass, and I mean a whole glass of juice, cherry red juice. Now, apparently the people were really smart, and they said that they pulled the battery.
Right.
And after they proceeded to pull the battery, I think they tried to get the juice out. And in doing that, they covered the whole inside of the laptop with juice everywhere. I mean, everywhere. The motherboard was coated with juice. So, you know, the RAM sockets were coated with juice.
When they tried to get out, what do you think, they shook it or something like that?
I think they probably took it and tried to shake the juice out, thinking that that was going to, no, yeah, you're done at that point.
Right, right.
But so I think they made the problem a little worse. Well, somebody put the battery back in after a while, I think after it dried, and, you know, a black screen came up. So they're still getting power, which was a good sign. Mm-hmm. He brought it to me and he said, he goes, you think it's worth fixing? I said, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I really don't know. I said, but I'm up for the challenge. So give it to me. Let me see what I can do. So I got it, tore it all down. Got out my Q-tips and alcohol, and basically just scrubbed the whole thing down with Q-tips and alcohol.
Really?
And, you know, inside the side, like I said, when I pulled the RAM out, it was inside the RAM socket. It was everywhere.
Did you use a toothbrush at all? I used to love using a toothbrush.
On some points, I think I did. Yeah, there was some of the metal points and stuff like that. I do have a kind of a medium bristle toothbrush.
Yeah.
That I'll hit it with, yeah. So I cleaned all that out. Got everything going. Got it all back together. Boom, it booted up, no problem.
Yeah, man, that's awesome.
So
I love stories like that.
I was happy. He was happy. They were happy. The only thing that we ended up having to replace though was the keyboard worked, but the problem is
sticky.
Well, it was sticky, and the keyboards have that basically a big old sticker on the bottom of it, kind of covering some of the ports and different things like that. Mm-hmm. So the juice had gotten caught in there, but it was making some of the keys stick. So,
man, if that's the least of his problems, that's good.
Yeah, you know, $12, $20, whatever.
Right.
You know,
eBay, new key,
throw it in. Yep. So that was the only thing that had to get replaced.
Good job, man. Oh. So happy to hear that.
It was fun.
Yeah, I can imagine. Amazing.
Okay, so the next one I'd fixed a computer for somebody a long time ago, and his wife ended up calling me from a business out kind of where I work, and basically had a laptop with a broken trackpad button. I mean, this trackpad button was busted in half. You know how thick those trackpad buttons are?
Yes.
So I don't know if somebody hit it with a hammer or I don't know what happened. Somebody had to hit that thing awfully hard to bust it.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, it's a HVAC company, so they do the heating and cooling and stuff like that, and they get their diagnostic software on the laptop. It was an older HP 510. And so anyways, I said, yeah, you know, we can fix that. I said, the problem is a lot of times you got to either buy a whole trackpad because the buttons are right on there, or if it's on the top cover, they're basically plastic riveted to the top of the, you know, the plastic cover.
Right.
You know, so that they're not just kind of sitting in there loose. You know, they kind of only go up and down because there's usually two posts on there holding.
Right.
So anyways, I said, well, we're going to probably have to replace the whole top cover. She's like, yeah, that's fine. You know, and I said, for most laptops, what I'm seeing is they're usually about $40, $40, $50. No big deal. And so I went to look for this one. Yeah, no. Unfortunately, it's such an older laptop that there's not a whole lot of them. I'd seen some that used to be like $40 from some companies, but they were out of stock.
What model?
It's HP 510. And basically what I did was I ordered it from another company to try to get a decent price on it, but it was still like $80-some-odd.
Right.
They email me back, and I won't mention the name of the company, but anyways, they email me back. I won't be using them. They email me back like 2 days later and go, oh, we're sorry to inform you, we're out of stock.
You can tell, I don't mind if you tell us the name of the company. If they're bad, then it should be pointed out.
Hold on one sec. I will find it for you.
I used to rip on companies that gave me a hard time when I was doing the show.
I'll tell you, I just wanted...
This is called bad word of mouth.
Let's see.
While you're looking for that, I'll throw a little interjection in here, going back to your last story.
Okay.
It reminded me of a video that Lotfi had sent me. And he wants me to post it in the laptop repair video collection, which I haven't yet. He sent me about 5 videos. And one of them is called like Lotfi's Turkish Bath for Motherboards, where he basically takes, I think it's, what's that water that doesn't have any nothing in it, so it doesn't leave a residue. Whatever that kind of water is, purified or mineral or whatever.
Oh, like a mineral water or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Or D-something water. Anyway, puts really hot water in and soaks the motherboard in that and like cleans it while it's underwater that way. And then of course he makes sure it's thoroughly dried, thoroughly with I'm drawing a blank now too. A hair dryer, like with a hair dryer, a heat gun. And he makes sure it's totally dry, but that's sometimes how he does and by the way, it's as a last resort. For anyone listening to me, I want to preface this by saying, this is a last resort. Don't do it lightly. But that is one method of trying to revive a dead motherboard. And I'll post that up there in the collection at some point. Okay.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Did that give you enough time? If you can't find it, don't worry about it. We'll rip on them later.
Yeah. Anyways, okay. It was one of those. It was just a company that I had signed up for. I saw them on there. It started with a C, and I can't remember the name of it.
Okay.
Anyways,
they said out of stock.
Out of stock.
And so what happened?
So then the only thing I basically called this lady up. I said, look, the only place I can find this thing, I had to go to the HP store itself and spend $136 shipped.
Sucks.
Top cover. They had the speaker in it, the whole trackpad, all, you know, the buttons and all that kind of stuff. So I did that. I called her and she said, she goes, well, I need it fixed. She goes, right. You know, and I would still spend, you know, a few $100,
okay.
You know, buying a new one or whatever. So I said, that's fine. So I ordered that, got it in, replaced the top cover. And, when I was pulling the laptop apart, I basically told her, I said, yeah, somebody actually had this laptop apart because screws were in the wrong place.
Right.
You know, when you screw the motherboard in on a laptop and then you can't screw the bottom cover in because the hole is blocked by the screw that you put in the wrong place.
Right. Right. What did she say to that?
She's like, oh, I don't know. She goes, that's just been sitting there on somebody's desk for 2 years. I said, well, it's been sitting here for 2 years and somebody broke the key and somebody's taking this apart. And so that was about all the questions I asked.
Yeah. I mean, how far can you probe? What was the model number of that one again? I want to see a picture of what that looks like.
It's a HP 510.
510.
Yep.
Okay, cool. One of those, okay.
Yeah. To be honest with you, that was a, yeah. It's a very sturdy laptop, but it's got such a weird cover with that convex and that pinhole trackpad.
Yeah.
Basically, the plastic, the trackpad's kind of really underneath that. But yeah, it's... So I, okay. And this was one of the laptops too, where the motherboard was at, you had to take the whole thing apart because the motherboard was actually screwed into the top cover.
Right. Not- right. Pain in the butt.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's see. I had another, laptop come in. Basically, a substitute teacher had called me up and said, can you clean, my laptop's running real slow. I need it fixed. So yeah, bring it in. You know, she kind of asked, well, how long did you take it to turn around? I'm like, well, I have it done in a day. And, so she gave it to me and basically ran all my, you know, fixes on it. There was a couple, Internet Explorer hijacks. There was a couple other, I think there was a couple rootkits in there, and some other, Trojans. And so after I ended up cleaning it all up, this is one of the ones that I used, System Mechanic on.
Okay.
To kind of clean the hard drive up and clean things up. And I was having a problem with you turning the computer. You would sitting there, computer's plugged in, and basically the screen would just freeze, but the mouse would still be able to move. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't do anything, but the mouse could move all over the board. So the thing was kind of sort of frozen, really.
Right.
So what I ended up doing was, after doing a little research, I kind of remembered that basically Windows Vista has a problem, and so did XP really, with sleep mode. And so I ended up, after doing some other things, I ended up turning sleep mode off, and that problem went away.
No kidding.
So,
that's
yeah.
Interesting too.
It's an old problem, but I just, you know, and I don't know why. This is a newer, you know, fairly newer laptop.
Right,
it's probably
right.
only a few years old. And it was in decent shape, you know. It wasn't abused or anything like that.
All the Windows updates were done?
Yep. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because that's for, you know, that's one of the things I do after I clean up a system is run all the Windows updates. You know, and I still do a couple other scans on it once I get it to the desktop. So,
another good tip.
Yeah. So hopefully I help somebody out if they have, we'll talk about this in a little bit. Anyways, we had a buddy of mine who built a computer for a friend of his, and they have one of the MiFi 2200s, Sprint, basically car. Is that Sprint? Yes. It was the Sprint one. The MiFi, you know, where you can, it's like a wireless hotspot basically mm-hmm. for internet.
Yeah.
Basically they were using that because they didn't want to pay, where they were living. It was too expensive to have Comcast bring the wire to their house because it was going to cost them $150, but whatever.
A month?
No, $150 to bring the line in.
Okay.
They want to pay it. So,
all right.
So they're on a MiFi 2200. So this thing all their other computers, their laptops and stuff like that connected to this, no problem. This brand new computer running Windows 7 would not connect to the internet. So my buddy tried, you know, a bunch of different things. I mean, this was a brand new install.
And it was brand new wireless computer. Adapter being used?
Yep, wireless okay. adapter that had been used in the prior computer to that. And actually, we had two different wireless adapters we were trying. One was a wireless adapter card mm-hmm. that you plug in a PCI port. Mm-hmm. The other was a USB wireless adapter.
Okay.
Same thing with both of them. So we sat there. He brought it over to the shop, and we were messing with it and trying to get it set up. And I had remembered, just by pure chance, that back when I was doing some work for our church, basically we had a point, and this was probably a few years ago, when we were starting to switch over from XP to like Vista and 7. Actually switch over to Vista. This was even before 7. So, one of the problems we had is we were running the WEP encryption on the router, which not meaning me, I did not set it up. Anyways, just helping out. after I explained to them that a kindergartner could probably come by and just break into it, no problem, then, you know, we probably need to change that. The problem was some of the older computers we had would not attach themselves to WPA or WPA2. Mostly WPA2. So there was kind of a weird time there where we, you know, we basically what we did was, you know, we were starting to bring new systems in, and a lot of laptops were getting away from a lot of the desktops because people were bringing them in and out, and they just wanted to hook up to the wireless. But we got to a certain point.
Hang on. Can I guess?
Yeah.
Why this thing wouldn't connect to the Wi-Fi? Is it because you're using AES instead of TKIP?
Actually, it wasn't even that.
Go ahead. You can continue. I just wanted to interject that. You can build it up how you were going to build up.
Right. So basically, we had this problem with some of these computers the newer computers would not connect to WEP. I remember having these Vista machines that would not because Vista wouldn't allow it. Because they were saying, you know, basically at that point it was like, no, we shouldn't be using WEP anymore. We should be moving ourselves up.
Since seriously, Windows is that concerned about what? I mean, you're able to not use any security. Why would they ban WEP?
I don't know. I can't answer that. I just know we ran into the problem.
That's weird.
So anyways, as far as I know, I mean, that's what we ended up figuring out. That was the problem with this MiFi 2200. Now, they'd set up encryption on it, which was good. But when they'd set it up a couple years ago, they'd used WEP encryption, which was fine for the old XP machines that they had. Mm-hmm. Windows 7 will not use WEP. As far to my knowledge, unless somebody's got something else, I've never been able to get it to use just regular WEP.
Huh. I don't know because I never tried because, like you said, why would you try? But
exactly.
That's interesting to know.
Right. We ended up changing it to basically the WPA, WPA2, and we used the TKIP slash AES.
Slash AES. I've had systems where I think it was on my Apple Airport Express. I couldn't get it to work. And I've had some other problem with another system where it wouldn't work on AES. It would only work on TKIP. So that's something to look at. Honestly, I don't even know what those mean, but I'm just saying that that's what fixed it. So,
yeah, me neither. Okay. I just know what I did to fix the problem.
We both admit it, okay? So keep your emails to yourself. All right.
I got no idea. All I know is that once we changed that, it connected, no problem.
Okay, yeah, me too. Well, that's good to know for the MiFi. You got to use WPA.
And here's the thing that sucks. Okay. Again, going back to support, they had called Sprint. Sprint, again, spent hours on a phone, couldn't figure the problem out. So decided, well, you probably need the newer one. And I don't even know what the model number of the newer one is, but whatever the new one is. So they sent them out a new one. Well, it's still the same problem, you know? Hmm. And so, you know, we ended up getting this thing fixed. They were able to send that other newer one back. And it was just one of those weird things where you're like, really? And we checked all over the internet. That's why I'm letting everybody know, because we checked all over the internet. My buddy even posted, you know, the Podnuts forum and nobody had anything.
Wow.
You go to any of the other forums. I mean, nobody had any information anywhere, you know, so.
Man. Is this one of those things that it's a now I know moment?
Yep.
Yeah. That's what I would chalk that one up as too. I file it away. Now I know that.
But you know, I remembered it because from what had happened to me before, but I still, for what it had been a few years ago, and apparently I'd forgotten in between that.
So. Okay. Got to file it better.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
So that was a good one.
Yes.
Now, Timster was talking the other day about a couple people getting infected via Skype with service repair. Somebody had called and it says service repair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lo and behold, yesterday, I don't know anybody who's been infected yet, but I was telling my buddy about it and he goes, no way. He goes, is it service repair? I go, yeah. So he pulled it up. He showed me his call log. Service repair had called him that day.
Oh, man.
And it's what it is. It's basically service repair, and it's got a little like a registered mark, the little R with the circle around it, sitting next to it.
Okay,
that's the phone number that comes in.
Okay,
so I can, and I don't know how it infects you. Obviously, he didn't click on it, you know, didn't answer the call, whatever. But I just, after Timster had said that, and he said, "Oh yeah, I got a call from service repair, just so people are aware out there that that probably is a legit virus. I don't know how they do it. I don't know if it's going to be locked down at any point or whatever, but
if they, man, if they blanketed all of Skype with that, they probably made out pretty well as scammers. You know yep. what I mean? That's a lot of people.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. At any given time, was there, 20 million people on Skype, 12, 20 million, something like that?
I don't
that?
Know the exact. Yeah. Millions. You probably know more than, I don't know. Millions.
Oh, well, 16,772,806 people online right now.
That's what it says.
Yeah, down at the bottom.
That's a lot of scams.
Yep. You only got to get up, 0.0001% of all that, and you it's make true. Some pretty good money.
It's true, man. That's how spammers make their money. The percentage of people that actually, buy something from spammers is so low, yet spamming is so profitable. It's just crazy.
I was surprised when Timster had said that basically half the computers that came into a shop with the scareware, the people were actually buying, paying that money. That floored me. I was like, wow, half the people are spending, $80,
whatever.
That's, I'm like, wow.
That's Savannah for you. That's Savannah, Georgia for you.
Oh, man.
Where do you live? I'm just kidding, Tim. Where do you live, Jeff?
I live in Michigan.
Okay. Just curious. I bet you the people down here would buy it, too. It'd probably be higher than... It probably goes hot. It probably goes higher and more south you go. But
I, one of the other...
I'm going to just... Oh, man.
Sorry, Tim. Sure, I'll apologize for him. Anyways.
Oh, man.
One of the things that I have been telling people when they get these scareware, and I'll give you an example. This laptop that I had that came in with the hidden documents, it was basically a pop-up. And as everybody knows, and you guys have explained on the last couple of shows, that basically if you touch that window anywhere, even clicking on the X in the right-hand corner, it's a big yes button.
Right.
It's a big I want you. So what I tell people is I said, look, don't touch it. I said, go down to your start bar, shut down your computer, restart your computer back up, go online, continue to do what you're doing. You'll be fine.
Right.
And so people that do that, they're fine. The problem is it's ingrained in people's heads when they want, even when they know something's not real, they're still inclined to hit that X.
Yes. Yep.
And it's really hard to retrain yourself not to do that. As technicians, I think we all know that, and that's why we don't get infected.
Right.
But a lot of them, I've even had to do that. And I rarely ever get any pop-ups. And I got a pretty locked down system here. And I had a pop-up out of the blue. I wasn't even on, I'm always online, but I wasn't even in I wasn't really on the internet. I wasn't looking at anything on the web, and I just had a pop-up in the middle of my screen. And who knows?
Right.
Oh, that stuff does happen. I know how to go in and control alt delete and, shut it down from there. But I tell the regular folks, here's what you need to do. Just shut the computer down, wait a second, turn it back on, go back to doing what you're doing. Now, one response I got from somebody, that takes too long. Well, it's either going to take you the whole, whatever, even if it takes 5 minutes to shut your computer down and turn it back on, or you're going to pay me $80 to fix your problem for you. One of the two.
Exactly. Exactly.
5 minutes or $80, you pick.
Well, that takes too long. Well, I would just welcome them to continue doing what they're doing then.
There you go.
It's helping you out. It's amazing.
All right. So some of the other things I've been working on, one of the things I've been learning is I downloaded Windows Home Server 2011, the newest one.
Okay.
And that just came out on TechNet. Mm-hmm. Downloaded it, put it on. I was running Windows Home Server, whatever the last one was, 2007 or I don't know, whatever it was.
I don't know.
Anyways, so I started rooting around in Windows Home Server just to kind of, I needed a backup system here locally. I could have set up a NAS. I had, I'd been running free NAS before, and I basically had an old computer, an old HP, with a 1.6 gigahertz Celeron processor with 2 gigs of RAM, DDR2. And that's enough to run this Windows Home Server, no problem. I went and got a 2 terabyte Western Digital Green Drive. It's a slower drive, only 5,400 RPMs, but for backup purposes, it's fine.
Sure.
And I got for like $60, you know, so cheap for 2 terabytes.
Very cheap for 2 terabytes.
Yeah, it was a Micro Center.
Damn you.
I get all the good deals, man. I don't really need this, but I'm going to buy it anyway.
I know. I guess it's good I don't have one here now. Save some money.
So anyway, so I've been messing around with that and setting up, you know, my computers to back up. You know, I'm running about 10 computers in the house with the family and different bench computers and different things that I'm using. So I'm having to back up the systems, which is kind of cool. And the other thing of which is cool is once you hook it up to any computer, like I'm sitting on my computer and I've got the what they call the launch pad open, which, you know, shows what's going on the Windows server. If the server needs an update or something, or there's a problem, it lets you know. If another computer that's on the system that's hooked up to the server needs updates, like important, you know, Windows updates or whatever, it lets you know. So you can go in there and, you know, make sure that you're updating. Because I'm not on 3 or 4 computers at the same time. It is, most of them just sit around while I basically use one computer. But this kind of, from my main computer, it kind of lets me know what's going on. So I thought some of those things were kind of neat. You know?
Yeah, that is very neat. Good stuff.
Now, the only bad thing about when I back up my main system, it's like 600 gigs.
Right.
But it seems to do it pretty good. And I, you know, using a, you know, gigabyte Ethernet, that's the only thing I changed in that was I put a gigabyte Ethernet card in there because I had an old 10100 card in there. So,
yeah, that helps. I mean, a lot of people. I mean, it helps. You got to have gigabyte all around, though, to get the real speeds. But
right, and they're both hooked straight into my router, so the router's gigabit, so it's fast transfer from pretty much everything. I haven't changed the outlying computers, like my kids and my wife's computer. One wife. Anyways,
no, you said it right. You would have said wives. If you had more than one.
Like going, did I slur that or what?
No, you got it. We got you.
Anyway, all theirs are on. Actually, my wife's hers is on wireless. Anyways, but everybody else is plugged in. It's basically all on the old 10100, which for surfing the internet and doing that type of stuff, it's fine.
Totally.
And they don't really back their stuff up anyways. They lose it, they just redo it. So I've been messing around with that and trying to learn a little bit every day, and it's been fun. Decent learning experience.
I never mess with it.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I wanted to see how well it worked with Windows. I don't know if it's going to be a great solution for, you know, the average consumer. But we'll see, because I'm looking at it. There's some people that want to back up their videos and photos and stuff on their computer, and I'm looking at a couple solutions with either using just like a regular NAS where you can plug in the hard drives, pull them out, that type of thing, or, you know, do you use something like a Windows Home Server? You know, I think it depends on maybe how many computers and exactly what they're doing, you know, so that'll be something I'll be looking into.
Yeah, let us know.
All right. Now, some of the things I've been playing with lately, as far as I ordered, this is something I meant to order a long time ago, and I just never did. Laptop screws. Finally went on eBay and ordered 250 little laptop screws. I've got screws for everything else, you know, desktops and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but are they assorted sizes or what? Because you never...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 250 assorted sizes, and it basically was my first order. They just threw, like, they stuffed this bag with screws, so... Sure. Yeah, there's all different types of sizes, but what I'm finding is a lot of times when I'm pulling laptops apart is either somebody's been in there before me or the customer's been in there or, you know, whatever. But, a lot of times, hard drives aren't even, screwed down. You know, somebody will pull, you know, and maybe not that you have to, but I like to give the customer back a complete system, you know, regardless if I didn't lose the screws,
sure.
But I don't want that ever coming back up to, you know, hey, I was missing some screws.
No, it's I like that going extra mile, you know. I think it's good.
So anyway, so now I got 250 some odd screws.
How much did it cost you?
It was like $15.
Okay. So. Who's that?
That's my one son, Logan.
Hey, Logan.
Anyways. One of the other things I ordered was I finally ordered a... hot air rework station, the 898D from Amazon.
898D. Let me punch it up. From podnuts.com/Amazon?
You got it.
All right, good. Thanks,
man. I'm the one that, and my Firefox tabs are all programmed to eBay and all that.
Awesome. They're
all
programmed. Yeah, I got
slash Amazon and slash eBay and all that.
Thank you.
Slash Newegg.
I'll continue to campaign that. This is pretty cool looking.
Yep. It's
works good.
I know it's the one. Yeah, it works great. I know Latfi was, he was talking about this system versus the other system, which is the fan and everything and the heat are actually in the box itself. He said he liked the portable system where the fan was actually in the gun itself. So.
Oh, and this one has the fan in the gun.
Yeah.
Neat.
The other thing, too, is I really have not wanted to order, and it was $100, 113 shipped, I think. I have not wanted to order things from Hong Kong if I could, avoid it. I'd rather, even though it comes from the same spot, comes from, Hong Kong, but I got it a lot quicker. I had it within a couple of days ordering it from somebody who already had them in stock here.
How much was it?
It's like $100.
Ain't bad.
Like 113 shipped. So
not bad at all. And have you been using it?
Yeah, I've been using it. I took a old laptop motherboard and basically I've taken the, I dropped some USB ports out of it, just kind of messing around with it. I want to do some, I want to pull some chips off. I got one of those little, pen suction cups to try to pull the chips off and stuff.
Right.
I think I might look into reballing maybe a little bit down
what?
The road. Yeah.
Damn, go for it, man. From the Latfi stories, it seems like a difficult procedure.
It looks like it, and I can understand, and I know everything on video always looks easier than what it is. But I did look at it, and I go, yeah, I'm sure there's a learning curve to it, and I'm sure it's going to be difficult. But I'll be honest with you, I can't tell you how many people have called and asked, do you fix Xboxes? And I'm not, and I know some people buy the little kits, and they do that fix, and that's fine. Hopefully that works. I just cannot bring myself to do that
because
it's not 100% fixed.
Right, right. It'll keep coming back. It would probably be a customer service nightmare if you did.
Exactly.
I'm with you.
I try to avoid as much of that as possible.
Good. Go for it, man. Good luck with that.
So, I'll let you know how that goes. But I'm looking at ordering some of the equipment, and I'll probably be talking to Latfi to see. Again, I've watched a lot of his videos and stuff and looked at a lot of the procedures and we might try to maybe buy a couple broken Xboxes, Red Rings of Death, and try it on there. So see what we can
do. Cool, very cool.
One of the other things I had a desolderer or solder sucker, I guess they call them.
Yeah.
And I bought one, the one from Radio Shack. It's like $11.
Yeah.
It busted on me. The threads actually stripped out of the plastic, I guess, because one half is metal, one half is plastic. So I ended up buying a more expensive, it's an Edson Deluxe Sodapult DS017LS, and it's supposed to be static safe for working on electronics, and it is nice.
Sodapult?
Yeah. Sodapult, that's what it is. That's the name of it. I make the name up, that's just what it is.
Look at that thing, looks surgical. That's nice, huh? It works good?
Yeah, what's nice is that big plunger on the end is a big rubber plunger. So what you can do is you can take the thing in your hand and crash it against your workstation.
I see.
Instead of sitting there pushing it with your thumb or whatever,
right.
You just crack, turn it over, crack, hit, turn it back to what you're doing, hit the button, boom, done.
Hmm.
Are
you going to need that do you use that with the hot air station or?
I do when I'm clearing some of the holes out. Here's the problem I'm still working the kinks out of the hot air station because I'll be honest with you, this last when I replaced those USB ports, they were so busted that there was just the pin, some portions of the pin sticking out. So right. I pulled the rest of the metal off with a pair of cutters, and basically what I did was I tried to use a hot air rework station to get the metal out.
Right.
And either I wasn't patient enough, or I got them out of another motherboard. But they just weren't coming out. So I used the old tried and true method. I basically added solder to those points, added a big glob of solder, and then took my soldering iron, heated up, and they dropped right out. So that's my old standby.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
That works every time.
Good.
So.
Good tip.
But in those cases, when I'm sucking the stuff out of the hole, a lot of times I'll hit it and suck everything out, and then I'll clean it up. And before I put the other, because you don't want it to go in so tight where you're bending pins and stuff like that. So right. I try to make sure get as much of the solder out as possible.
I see. Good. Awesome.
One of the other last things that I bought, okay. I bought a bunch of things, but this is one of the things that I thought was cool. I know Steve D has talked about the iGo Universal Charger, the yes. laptop charger.
Yes.
I bought the Universal Laptop Charger iGo Green, and it's a PS00132-2007. And it was $30.
Okay.
Basically, somebody had, you know, they basically no box or anything like that. Supposedly brand new, shipped in bulk, blah, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, for $30, I took a chance. I'm like, yeah, he has 100% feedback rating. So I was like, well, you know, I don't think I can go wrong with that.
What is the model again?
It's a PS00132-2007. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
It's the iGo Green. It's the real thin one.
Uh-huh.
Now, let me, here's my tip for using it. It works great. I've used it on two laptops, but when I was reinstalling Windows on a laptop, what it does is it shuts off automatically when it goes to idle or like the computer goes to sleep. When you're first doing a format on a computer and you go to do a Windows reinstall, at least this is what I found on Windows XP on an older machine, it would shut it off long enough to kill that power supply. So there's a USB port where you can charge on the bottom of it.
Okay.
And what I did was there's probably a ton of things you can do, but my phone needed some juice, so I just plugged my phone in, so it was constantly charging something while I was reinstalling Windows on that laptop.
I see.
So it basically kept it on, is what it
right,
did.
Right, right. I see you. Now, I'm surprised an adapter. I'm looking on Amazon. It won't tell me the voltage. This thing could power laptops.
Yeah, it puts out 19 volts.
It does. What's the amperage? Because if the amps are too low, it's not going to be enough power. Not going to be enough juice.
I've used it on my wife's laptop, which is a laptop that's probably 3 years old.
Okay.
And I've used it on an older Windows XP machine, an old Dell that's probably about, you know, 7 or 8 years old.
Okay.
And it powered, you know, with the different adapters, it powered up, you know, both of them.
Okay.
No problem.
All right. It's interesting. So, for that price, it's worth $30 on Amazon?
That's what I said. I'm almost tempted to buy another one, to be honest with you, because even for having a backup. You know, I use it in a shop, but for having a backup if somebody's laptop power cord goes out, I'm like, that's a good deal.
It's amazing.
So.
Okay. Sounds good, man. That's a great tip. Guys should buy them before they sell out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I said, normally those things go for like $100. You can find them on sale for like 80 or, you know, Radio Shack or whatever. So $30 is a really good deal. And it was, I mean, the thing looks brand new. It comes with a case. And he gave a little double USB port plug-in, so it turns one USB port into a dual.
Right. That's awesome.
So, yeah. So that's kind of cool.
Very cool. Good stuff, man. Anything else?
Nope. I think I think we've covered enough.
Yeah, we covered a lot
of stuff.
I would go to a shot of me, but my camera just flaked out, so it's just going to be on you for the rest of the show, Jeff.
Oh, man. Maybe so don't pick my nose or anything. Or.
I'll try to put it on a web page if I can get it up or something. But the thing is, I'll put it on Podnuts. There we go. The thing is, I wanted to say, guys, Jeff is like the perfect guest. He's got a great internet connection, nice headset, sounds good, and all he did was bring into the show stuff that he worked on and some tips. I mean, that's all it takes. What you guys do every day, you technicians every day, that's the kind of stuff to talk about. That's how Podnuts Daily started. It's exactly what Jeff did. Talk about the job you're doing. The content writes itself. So, Jeff, first off, I wanted to say thanks for bringing so much goods, man. It was It's no problem. You make it easy for me. Let's put it that way.
I appreciate the opportunity to share. You know, one of the other things before, I know you probably got some emails and voicemails. One of the other things that I'm probably going to do, and it's one of the things I'm trying to work myself up into, but what I've noticed is there's a lot of information out on the internet that's really, you got to really dig around. And, you know, a lot of times, I took a little bit to get all this information down because I had to go back over some old paperwork and stuff like that to see what's been going on over the last couple months. But I've been thinking about doing is actually creating a blog for TechNut and actually doing like jobs and stuff and kind of, you know, posting little things and maybe doing little video tips and stuff like that. Cause it seems like that's kind of where things are going, with just getting information out there. But I mean, this is a great format. I love this show just for it doesn't matter who comes on. Every show I walk away with something from the show, you know, a tip or something, you know, it could be the smallest thing that maybe I didn't think of because we're all smart guys and gals, but, we don't know everything.
Right.
And, so I, you know, I was thinking about getting that, you know, getting some information out there and really just, at least, it would be a point of reference to go back and look at some of the different jobs I did,
right.
You know, whether it's just, right. You know, more for personal use or, you know, maybe some other people would get some stuff out of it or whatever. So, but that takes a lot of work too. So.
Yeah. We'll see how you do. See how you do.
But yeah, regardless of that, I am going to start keeping a better log. And I think, taking videos of, you know, different jobs and stuff I do. So at least I've got a log of what's going on.
That would be neat. Definitely do that. See how it goes. You never know. It might be so much fun to do. You just want to keep doing it.
I think it will be. Once I get going, it's always the setup, you know, it's like setting up the web page. It's like setting, you know, all the different things that you have to do. But once I do it, I enjoy sharing, you know, knowledge with other people and I enjoy receiving knowledge, you know, from other people. So
definitely. Well, that's definitely, you know, that's what PodNuts was built on. So,
yep.
Cool, man. Yep. Let us know how that goes too.
All right, cool.
All right. The camera's going to stay on you while I read these emails. So, don't pick your nose or anything.
All right.
This one's from Tom. I think I read it on another show. I'm not sure if I read it on Daily yet. He says, he got the, this dreaded email from ashampoo.com. I think that ARA security. What are they? I can't remember what they are. A shampoo. They make antivirus, don't they, or something like that? Anyway,
I think so.
They are a tech company, and they got one of those emails where they said their email was hacked, and don't worry, their systems were hacked, and don't worry because the only thing they got was your email address, and we just wanted to assure you we're doing everything we can, those kind of things. And it just goes to prove, well, Tom says, now I should start a podcast called Breach of the Week, because it looks like everybody's doing this email hacking these days, so... just wanted to put it out there.
I think the problem is everybody, Best Buy, you know, I'd gotten several emails from different companies. I think the problem is they all use the same company.
Yes.
That's emailing.
Yes, they do. I can't remember the name of that company. Equa something, or starts with an E.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if I read that. That's why I wanted to just read that again. Michael says, hey guys, I remember a while back you had someone on that talked about reflowing boards. Here's an article that someone took a toaster, ripped the controls, installed his own, and made it into a reflow oven. Let's check this out. I didn't even look at this yet.
Wow.
A reflow oven. Do it yourself. Build a solder reflow oven. Look at this thing. It's a little toaster oven.
Oh, it's a toaster oven. That's great.
Yeah. With some kind of circuitry in there. And you could, like, you know, it's just like cook your motherboards, you know, put some seasoning on there.
There you go.
There you go. Now, Lotfi would not probably be a fan of the reflowing because he's a reballer. In fact, that's his name. I think he's going to change it Madonna.
And like officially?
Yes. I think he is. I wouldn't put it past him. All right. Well, that's the toaster. That's a good link. That's at mavromatic.com. mavromatic.com. Very cool link. Look at that. Never saw anything like that.
No, I haven't. That's a good idea.
Thank you, Michael, for the link. And last email is from Rodney. He says, just found out about this. You can share your screen with someone and give them control of it. It might be useful for technicians as the customer can visit the Join Me site and give control to the tech. So I'm trying to figure out how this is different than Log Me In. It is by Log Me In. It's called Join Me, join.me, free screen sharing and online meetings. Calabradabra is what they say, but it's called Join Me. And at the bottom, it does say have a log, the Log Me In logo, copyright Log Me In. Share your screen with others. What is it? Instant online meetings, ridiculously simple. Get people together, up to 250 of them without actually getting them together. Just click share to download and run the app and share your screen instantly. No need for a plan. It's like a GoToMeeting. It looks like Log Me In's trying to jump in on that space.
Oh, okay. All right.
But check it out, guys. It's a Log Me In product, join.me. And that is from Rodney.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for the emails. Don't have any voicemails, but I appreciate all the emails. And we do want voicemails too. You can call 707-6-PODNUT on a phone to do a voicemail. You could just do email mail@podnuts.com for an email. And that's all you got to do. If you want to sign up for the show, go to podnuts.com/guests. Sign up, do exactly what Jeff did, and you guys are golden. It would be such a big help, too. Jeff, anything you want to end off on here?
Nope, I think that was it. Hopefully everybody got something out of it, and we can all go away and continue in our endeavors.
Yes, that's the word. I always keep coming back to that word. It just flows.
Yep.
Well, thanks for being on, and I want to thank everybody for watching, listening, streaming, downloading, uploading, whatever you're doing. And that's going to be it for Podnuts Daily for today. We'll see you guys next time. Stay tuned for Podnuts Pro. Music for Podnuts Daily provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.